The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 11, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. Dr. Wong is a regular guest on here, and I'll say this again. If you haven't listened to the last show I did with him, you gotta. That show was wild, man, especially when I went into the deal where next year, if I can pull it off or somebody's got a place. Remember Rocky IV when he was supposed he was in Russia and that old dirt floor, steel, stone, cutting trees? That's where I want to go for a year just to harden up even more. So I'm looking at that. Well, that hit a big nerve because I got a lot of response from listeners saying, I thought of that. I'd like to do that. One guy even thinks he's got a log cabin somewhere where we could train people. So that's cool. But what came out of that, too, I heard from Frank DeMeo, who owns the Cave down in Sarasota, Florida, who's a regular on M&M. He sent me a name of a book to get, and it has just to do with just being a man, manliness, strength, all kinds of stuff. And it's called Cowboys, Mountain Men, and Grizzly Bears by Matthew P. Mayo. I know listeners, I've been putting it out, they're telling me they're ordering it. I don't care if you lift weights or not. If you're a man's man, you can come on the show and we can discuss the book, discuss chapters. I'm about a quarter of a way through it. I just got it from Amazon. I think I paid like $12.93 for it. It is smoking, and I'm going to try to get the author on if I can. So check that out. Next, we got Sorenex Equipment. They once again sponsored me for Iceland with a brand new diamond bar, which sits in the power rack, and you can probably load this beast to 1,000 pounds. And you can press it overhead. So go out to Sorenex.com or 803-978-2253, extension 111. Thank you to Bert and Richard. Bert and I did a smoking show yesterday. That'll be up shortly. Next, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download our free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. No frills, no thrills, man. No greased up chicks, none of that shit. You got 10 paragraphs to read. Going to make you think, going to make you a better athlete, and going to make you a hell of a lot stronger. So go out and check that out. Also, too, we got our winner's circle coming up. This is 12 modules I recorded verbally, 27 to 34 minutes. Because everything from the beginnings right through to my love of the power rack and all in between. Sandbag domination, the return of iron boots. I got one, I believe it's called just building massive arms. It goes through a ton of shit. We're going to take this database and blow it up and get everybody in it. But this is a chargeable item. You can buy one module or you can buy them all. You get a year's worth for 9 months. So you get 12 for 9. So check it out at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Strength times power equals success. That's another winner. That's the I set that up when Dennis lost 43 pounds, but it goes with anything. You can lose weight and gain size. It's all strongman, kettlebell. All the stuff, you know, running with big sandbags up hills, steep hills, all the good shit, man. Go out and check it out for $7. You can't go wrong. It's all in HD, and there's plenty of it on there where I am talking in the background describing the movements. So check it out. Check out our intensity training videos, free. You're going to see a lot more because I'm feeling damn healthy. So beware of Husafel Stone. Last but not least, oh, I got one more. Hearts Collision. Local, Albany, New York, upstate New York, 518-477-7937 or heartscollision.com. Alex and Lori are good friends of mine. I'm training their 14-year-old son, Al, right now. He's out on my YouTube channel doing a few things. Wait till you see what I got set this week for him. Unbelievable. And he's made me very happy. He's going to go in a strongman contest next year. So I'm going to take that 155-pound kid and rock him to 190 this winter. And I ain't going to train him anymore. He and I are training partners now. So he's going to have a very interesting next year over here at FBC. And then last but not least is the guy that does all the magic, Chris Bigelow, monsterdevelopment.com. 800-687-1609. Give him a call. Tell him Motivation Muscle sent you. See what happens from there. Well, today we got our good friend Gareth Denyer on today, and we've got two of his students that he'd worked with quite a bit, and we're going to meet Nick Smith today and Jeremy Linzer. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Gareth, he owns HCP Barbell. That's his gym down in Texas. He's a trainer, strength guy, big time man. The guy can talk the talk, walk the walk. I enjoy having him on here like a lot of people, but this guy's really got the shit. And we're gonna talk to Nick and Jeremy, and we're going to kind of get into the whole scope of what he did with these gentlemen, where they are today. And, you know, obviously I know we're going to get into the mental aspects and stuff, so I'm figuring we're going to have a very aggressive show. So, Gareth, welcome to Motivation Muscle.
Hey, Eric. Man, excited to be here today. I know today's show is going to be an awesome one.
They always are. Give everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll bring Nick and Jeremy in, please.
Sure. My name is Gareth Denyer. I'm the owner, operator, strength coach here at HCP Barbell. We're located north side of Houston. We specialize in training football players, but other various sports, including soccer, swimming, golf, what have you. We train them all.
Awesome. Nick, welcome to the show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us on, sir.
What's up, my dude? How you doing?
Are you Jeremy, man?
Yeah.
All right, brother. I appreciate that. Nice Facebook thing, the note you sent me.
I didn't want to come off as a creeper when I seen that friend request, so I figured I'd explain myself a little bit.
We're trying to do some amazing things, and I do appreciate the compliments now and then. You know, you hear more complaints, it seems like, than that, but the show is just getting huge. Gareth, I'll start off with you.
Sure.
Give a little history of these two gentlemen that came in here. And we're going to try to just go from one to one. I mean, I know we're going to get kind of excited here, and we'll probably be talking over each other. But let's try to keep this as close as we can, because the listeners are going to get real confused if not. So why don't you start off, give us a little history about these two gentlemen, and then I'll go from Nick and then Jeremy, or vice versa, and we'll keep rolling.
Yes, sir. Well, I started training these two, I'd say, about 7 years ago. At the time, they were high school football players, both very athletic and gifted. Their primary focus with me was to get bigger, stronger, faster. They came in here with a lot of high energy, a lot of motivation to become the best athletes they could be. Both of them have, man, great strength. They listen. They're very coachable. They actually went off to play college football while they were there during the summers. They continued to train with me, and after they're both about to end school, but they've continued to train with me. Their goals now are a little bit different, since they don't have to be as big as they were. They're just both trying to lean out. They've been training, you know, very consistently over the past few months. Even when they're not with me, they're always pushing it hard on their own. Mm-hmm. It's just great to see these two boys, you know, actually turn into men. They're very driven outside of the gym too. They know exactly what needs to be done to reach their goals. Mm-hmm. Just very proud of them both. I'm just blessed to work with both of them. We enjoy each other's company. We listen to a lot of the same music. We have a lot of outsiders. You know, they're both crazy. They know their music. You know how Eric is. Yeah, we're actually going to a concert here next week. It just, you know, it's a different type of relationship now. When they were young, you know, I was more of their coach. Now we all train together and more like friends. You know, just kind of more, I would say more like companions in the game of iron. You're just trying to become better, stronger, different aspects now, obviously. But I love working with these boys. I just can't say enough about them.
Okay. Well, you want to know some good metal? New Lamb of God is killer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Killer. It's awesome. All right, Nick, I'm going to start with you. When you came to Gareth, and, you know, obviously you want to play football, did you know, I don't know if your parents were involved when you went there and all that, but if it was the three of you or whatever, did you know what you needed to do before you walked in there, or did you have a concept, or when you walked in and spoke with Gareth, did you get the idea right away that this guy knew what he was talking about and you wanted to work with him? Was it an easy decision, put it that way?
Whenever we started coming and training with Gareth is when I really knew what we needed to do. Instead of just getting in the weight room and doing, you know, your basic lifts, your basic auxiliaries that you do in junior high school and high school. And, you know, before it was just that. And then when we started coming in here is when we figured out what we needed to do.
Well, we got into this today. I had an extremely strong individual up from out in Oregon named Will Dinwiddie, and this guy is unbelievable strong, man. He does everything, MMA, all the stuff. And we got into this stuff. The whole show is about personal training today, and I'm sure you had gone to maybe other trainers, maybe not. You can correct me on that. But was there something in Gareth that you saw that was different from other people you've been around? Because, you know, I've talked to him enough now. I got a thumb on him a little bit right now, what's going on with him. But did you see something different in him, or was it just the first choice, period?
It's definitely something different. Definitely passion. And Gareth can tell you something about every one of his clients, every person that he trains. And, you know, just really got to know you. You know, going from somebody that's their first day to, you know, a great, you know, one of his athletes, and he just automatically becomes somebody that you look up to, a big role model, and somebody that holds you accountable, somebody that you want to, you know, somebody you want to work with, somebody you want to train with.
Jeremy,
what's up?
I know you're the wilder one here by the sound of the voice, but
hey,
maybe
I don't know you've been talking to, man.
All right. Look, same question pretty much. Obviously, you know, I would assume whether you're with your parents or not, you decided, you heard about Gareth, you decided to go in and talk to him. Maybe you hadn't made a decision. Maybe you had other trainers that failed with you. You know, maybe you're apprehensive at the time, even though you're 18 years old or 15 or whatever it was. What was it about this guy that maybe you thought separated him from the pack, or, you know, was it an easy decision? Did you have to think about it? Were you with another trainer? Catch us up on how it started and where you are right now with him.
Yeah, absolutely. So how it started, I was 15 years old. You know, we're going into our first varsity football season, I think, and another good friend of ours who has trained here for a long time named Paco Solano, I know he trained here for a summer, and he came back for the season, and this dude was just yoked. He got big, and I saw him, and he went on the field, and he was busting heads, and I was like, I need to do what this guy did. Like, where is he training? So I talked to him, and he's like, hey, just come check out my dude, Gareth, and so that's what I did. I came, and I'll tell you what, the minute I stepped foot in that gym, I knew it was a different mindset. It was a different game. I mean, it was different than our typical off-season workouts. Like I had never been with another trainer before Gareth, so I really didn't know what to expect per se. But I did. I mean, I came in there, and I'll tell you what, immediately I felt like he had my best interest in mind, and he wanted to make me a better athlete no matter what it took. And whenever I saw that he was investing that much into me, I'm like, all right, well, I got to match that. If he's going to take me this seriously, I got to show him, hey, I'm not fucking around, man. I'm taking you seriously too. And honestly, that's the mindset that I've come in here every day still to this day. So
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Gareth, what did you see in these two gentlemen here? Did you see something special? I mean, I know that you're looking at everybody, but obviously you and I have talked about this many a times. Was there something you saw in both of these guys that you kind of knew that we got a couple winners here? I know they're going to have to work their ass off, and I'm not going to let them eat down easy. But did you see something in these two that maybe reminded you even of yourself or maybe some previous people, or were they just walking and you didn't know what to expect?
No, I it's funny. I can usually have a feel for someone, one of the younger boys especially, the way that their mindset is, whether they're coachable or not within the first 10, 15 minutes. Some kids just have that. They know how to listen, not only just listen, but incorporate what I'm telling them right then and there. They're just very coachable. And I think that's the one aspect that a lot of, I think, higher-level football coaches don't really recognize. You could be the most gifted athlete in the world, but if you don't listen and learn how to do things better and actually improve on a day-to-day basis, there are going to be problems. And so I just think that these two were special in that way, that they listened and they had the enthusiasm and drive in the gym to get things done.
Yeah. Well, that's vitally important, because the one thing you don't want to do is piss your time away on somebody that could give a shit. And we've all faced that. And here I don't even let them stay. You know, I give them their money back and tell them to have a, you know, nice swim. You know what I mean? I don't want to fuck around with any of that shit, because what it does, it's like a bad animal pissing on your fucking wall, you know? It's like you got to go piss all over it to show you're the dominant figure, man.
Yep.
And that's a lot of the shit. Nick, what did you like most about Gareth in your time, as far as just let's concentrate on football here? What stood out about Gareth still to this day to you that you're glad that you did meet and you still have his acquaintance, so to speak?
Just how he held us all accountable, I didn't want to let this guy down. Whenever we walked in the gym, it's just something about Gareth, and every time I come in, I wanted to be better. I wanted to do better, and that, you know, ultimately made me a better athlete and made me want to keep working and getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something to say about that, because in today's world, there's a lot of phony shit going on, and especially in the gym world. You know, this has been coming up since Gareth and I talked about a show, but it's been coming up ever since now, where, you know, everybody thinks just because a guy's got a trophy or multiple trophies or awards on his wall, that makes him a great trainer. That's the farthest thing from, you know, reality there. Because if you know, like Gareth and I were talking about podcasts, you know, you think some people are good and they can translate it to that, and they can't. To do anything, like be a great trainer, do podcast, whatever you want to specialize in, be a real good lifter, you got to have something special about you. And there are people like that set themselves far apart from the pack, because we're just bombarded with media all the time. And if you're a Facebook fool with everything all the time, you know, you're going to, if you believe in half the shit that's coming at you, I got another story to tell you. I mean, you know, we know the stuff's airbrushed, a lot of it. We know, you know, a lot of the stuff, I'd like to see some of it in action. I'm not saying yes or no, and people can say that about me too. But, you know, I think when you get a guy like Gareth, or you get in with a group of people you like, did you ever notice, like, you think about it maybe 10 years later, maybe you're no longer with the group, and you're saying, hey, you know something, that was a real special time, man. It's like, now you appreciate it. You didn't gobble. You did what you had to do, and you had a good time. But now, when you sit down, it's almost like getting a sledgehammer over the head. You're like, "Holy shit, man! Maybe I wish I enjoyed that a little bit more." But you can't go back. So, Jeremy, on that note, what was it? The same thing? You wanted to just do your very best for Gareth, or were there other attributes you admired about him?
I mean, definitely. Whenever I first came in here, I mean, my sole purpose was to get better.
Yeah.
And every time I came into the gym, that's exactly what we did. And if I came in the next time, I just wanted to make sure I was better than the last time I came in when I walked out. And, I mean, shoot, I could sit here all day. I mean, I could write a book about – not write a book, but that's a little too far.
Right.
I don't like writing that much. But,
I'd rather talk about it.
No, but, I mean, it's just – man, and another thing that I think really separates Gareth's gym is that, man, we come in here, we bust our ass, but, dude, we have a damn good time doing it. You know, we have fun, but, you know, we know when it's time to work. Especially me, I like to keep it light. You know, I like to, you know, smile and, you know, keep everyone laughing. But you best believe I know when it's time to punch that clock and go to work. And I think that's something that a lot of people can't differentiate from, you know, and I don't know, it's just something to be spoken for. And like I said, I love coming in here, man. I bust my ass when it really pushes me to the limit, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you don't really, you know something, anybody that really understands the gist of what lifting's about, where it's not just going and slinging a stone or lifting a barbell, it encompasses everything. And we've gotten into these talks where, you know, the innate intelligence of everything, man, if you quiet your mind and learn to be quiet and sit by yourself, you can learn a hell of a lot. And the thing now, we live in a world where there's so much media, so much traffic going around you in your head. Your head, you know, I don't care what anybody says, human beings can only do so many tasks. This multitasking shit you can shove up your ass, as far as I'm concerned. Because I'm one of these guys is like this. If you want to be good at something, you got to dedicate yourself to that thing. If you're doing three other things, the other thing that you want to get good at is going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And I think now, with lifting right now, with me, especially with a lot of stuff I want to get ready and go do, is going to require, like I said, maybe a year away, maybe in a barn training, you know, by myself again, you know, and hardening my body and mind so much that no matter what I go after, I'm going to kill it. And that's the way my mind's always kind of worked. Mm-hmm. But I think the whole point of this thing is this. Lifting weights, to me, is the best thing out there. We got into this just a little while ago. Think about this. How many sports can you still do at 100 years old if you're healthy? Other than weightlifting, I don't have a clue. Maybe arm wrestling? You're not going to be playing baseball, hoop, hockey, and I love hockey and baseball. That's really all I look at now when I watch sports. Or I try to get the old reruns of World's Strongest Man on CBS HD. But they don't announce it, the assholes, so you're popping the clicker to see if they're on there or not. But that's with me now, everything is about where are we going, you know, in the next year? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to lift? What do you want to have business-wise? And everything's kind of contained because it's the only way I can function doing things now. I can't have like 10 million things in front of me because mm-hmm. none of them get done. I'll ask Nick and Jeremy. I want to ask him. You guys piss Gareth off ever good? Have you ever seen him real pissed off?
Nah, he loves us, man. There's no way. No way.
He won't let you know when he's pissed off.
He never told you guys to friggin' pull it together, suck it up, nothing?
I mean, to be honest, I don't think – I'm not trying to toot our own horn here, but it's just like I said, it's a different
yeah. –
it's a different –
No, I got it.
It's a mental – it's a mental aspect that we kind of take over once we walk in here. I mean, like I said, I'm not into wasting Gareth's time
right.
or my
right.
time, so it's time
– Well, the only reason why I asked that is because – Gareth is a hell of a nice guy, and he's pretty mellow, man. I just figured you guys had to have pissed him off once, at least, you know?
Hey, I don't, that might be a question for him. I don't know.
Gareth, did they piss you off, man?
No, these two, never. I you know, it's kind of like that unspoken respect.
That's awesome.
Towards each other. You know, yep. I always tell the boys this, is like, if I were to yell, or if you were to ever hear me scream, you'd be very surprised. I just don't need to go there for the most part. And anyone who trains here consistently knows that.
Yeah.
You know, there's that mutual respect, and they know what needs to be done. And this whole environment that I have here, you know, everything from, you know, not having any central air or heat, and you know, yep. training extremes, and just my personality type, I think it's just all acts as a filtration system, in that
yeah.
you know. The people who are serious stay, those who aren't leave. And I've seen it, and it's not to say, oh, here I am, I'm the biggest, I'm the best, but any of the boys that deviate from my program usually go off and do some dumb things. Because I I've seen it more times than not. All the boys that I've trained from years past, we all stick together, we all keep in touch, no matter if they're going, you know, even overseas, what have you. It's just one of those things. It's kind of like a special group that just kind of sticks with you. And it's just like you said, you know, some of our fondest times, because when they were younger, I had just moved back, you know, here to Texas, and I was, you know, the gym was getting started again. So,
yeah.
you know, everyone was kind of on a new adventure, and whether it be sports or me starting the business, it was a special time in our lives. And we all look back and kind of laugh at it and just think about those special moments that we all had. Because at that time, you know, the boys that were training with me, even our mindset was very different. At the time, I was a bigger guy. I was at least 60 pounds bigger, or 50, 60 pounds bigger than I was now. I was just coming down in weight, but I was still training heavy. I was making the boys not go as heavy, but they worked very hard on squats. I made them push sleds. I made them do things that were, I still have a very hard work ethic approach that the boys need to adopt. But at the same time, they were pretty much using the same programs that I was using. And and at the same time, too, that group of boys I was training were very strong. On one team, I'm telling you, like 20 of the boys that I was training that started on a team were benching over 300 pounds, which is just very rare for a high school team. And this whole group from that time period, you know, Nick and Jeremy included, they were just way stronger than most kids. And, you know, we mentioned this before on a previous show, is that strength, talent, what have you, athletic ability, it comes in waves. And they were at that peak point where everyone was very strong. We had some very gifted athletes. I mean, you walk in here on any given day, you'd have 5-6 D1 recruits. I mean, it was crazy. And they were, Nick and Jeremy were all part of that. They went off to play college ball.
That's what I was going to ask them. Nick, where'd you end? I didn't mean to interrupt you, Gareth. Finish whatever.
No,
go ahead. If you got something.
No. It's just they're part of that special era.
Yeah. Yep.
In our lives, that, you know, and we've, you know, they'll come in, like I said, they still come and train, but we still talk about those times that they had when they were in high school training for football.
Nick, where'd you end up going playing college football?
Jeremy and I both ended up going to Texas Lutheran University.
Okay.
Played for a season and had to come home and get settled in, start working, unfortunately, but. We both stayed there. It was awesome. We worked out with Gareth during the summers, or summer leading up to that, summers afterwards, and it was a great experience for sure.
Let me, and this is a very basic question for both of you guys. We can go right to today, but even during when you're getting ready to play, you know, college and high school, the whole deal. Did you have a favorite exercise you like to do? Were you squat or deadlift or overhead? What did you like to do?
Oh, man, whenever back in those days, you know, when we were throwing around a lot more weight, we used to do squats with chains on them. Oh, man.
Nice.
I would love those days. I mean, afterwards, I would probably sit in my truck and not move for about 45 minutes because I couldn't lift. But, I mean, dude, I would be waking up, I mean, looking forward to that, man. That was some fun, man. We'd throw around some weight. Man, it was some good times, definitely.
Jeremy, had a really good squat. What was your squat, Jeremy?
At one time, back in the day, I mean, not anything too great, but I was pushing 500, about 485.
Okay, dude. I mean, now when you say that, not great. Think about how many people are
compared to some of the guys that I trained with here. They were. Yeah. I'm just saying that was honestly about average with some of the guys that we were working out with around here at that point in time. So. But no, it was a lot of fun. I loved leg days. Those were, I still do. I'm trying to get back to where I was, but, you know, those were fun, man. Those were some good times.
Nothing like squatting, man. There's nothing like feeling something heavy on you. That's the best thing, man.
I don't mean to backtrack, but what Nick failed to tell you is that him and I were actually roommates at Texas Lutheran.
Okay.
So, as you can imagine, we got into some pretty crazy shit out there.
Yes.
And Gareth has heard all about those mischievous adventures.
Well, I'd love you to tell him, but iTunes will rip my ass right off.
I'm sure there's some legal things there. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah. I mean, we're pushing language too today, but I'm not worried about that. The only thing is now. We're starting to get a lot younger audience, and I know they've heard it, but, you know, I'm trying to, I have a tendency, depending who I'm on with, where I can come pretty unglued with language too. So, as Russell said, he said the other day, he was listening to Garrett's show and mine and a couple others, and he was like, I could feel or see whatever he said. I could feel the testosterone dripping through my speakers. Okay, so, you know, that's what you're getting off this show. That's why, this is why we're growing the way we're growing, because I've had people, I told Garrett this one time, this made me, I was really pissed at this guy, too, because he's been on the show and he said this to me. He was like, do you think once you make it, you'll kind of tone the show down and blah, 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 blah. I said, number one, I don't know how you gauge making it, but we've already made it. We've gone further than most people ever get, and it's been mainly me. You know, on my dime, I've got a guy now working with me where we're doing everything, trying to put the product out. We should have everything, all the video of here. That's something you want to look for, guys. You'll get to see where I train. It's a one-car garage. Wait to see the amount of equipment inside and out of there. It'll blow your mind. And I didn't show everybody everything. It was just tons of stuff. And once we do a few minor tweaks, you know, there's going to be – I'm going to build a back machine and just a lot of really, really hardcore like we got here. But I'm just – that's like my next year, you know. I want to get to Iceland to finish off the Husafell Stone. I want to get to Scotland next year and do the Dinnies and the Inverse. So these are some big, big projects I got going. But, you know, to make a long story short, it's like squatting it to me is like my brainchild. And everything I do is dead stop off the pins in the rack. I do no rebound squatting anymore. I haven't for over 10 years. I mean, I've squatted dead stop at like parallel close to 800, and I think it was 780 was the biggest one, and I didn't go any further than that because I was doing a lot of other things. But I got news for you, I run at high bar like an Olympic squat. I don't put it down below my traps, and go and try sometime, throw a set of rods in there and throw 300 on your squat bar and see if you can even come off the pins with it. Whole different thing, you know. You don't have the expansion of the hamstrings, anything. You're starting right at the bottom of the lift. So I love squats. I love pulling. Probably one of my favorites. I love pressing, but my ultimate favorite, and I got into this in the last two pods. If I knew what I knew now about carrying, and I'm only talking about carrying a sandbag or a stone in front of you, bear hugging it, I think if I had done that when I started, I think who knows what would have happened with me in training. I've done some pretty big things I'm proud of. But I'm of the impression right now, and I'm doing it with that young man that I have here now that's going to – he's getting ultimately just brutal, man. I have him carrying like a madman, and he's going to be carrying 100-plus stone, you know, probably 120-pound Husa steel stone, very big, wide, very unwieldy. He's not used to this stuff. I think you can become a maximized lifter when you start carrying. I'm going to be carrying now 2 to 3 times a week now in anticipation of going to Iceland, providing I don't have any more stuff on my shoulder. Plus, I've got two of the big stones, which, you know, they ring in at 185 and 225 without putting any shot or plates on it, because I have these short plate horns on each corner, and we can put 200 pounds just in iron on that. So that one stone will hold over 600 pounds. I've been able to pull from about mid shin, the most I ever pulled was 500. It felt like he was going to pull my fucking arms off me.
Eric, so, I was telling everyone about that because I know I heard you mention the thing, and then like people don't understand the strength that you have because, you know, pulling a stone, there's no mechanical advantage to it. You know, the way you have to pull that thing into you, and you know, lifting it up, and you're pretty much doing like a good morning. I just don't know how the hell you do it.
Well, you know, and that leads us to the next thing, and, you know, we'll get back to you guys, but this is all part of this whole show here. I did Good Mornings the other day, and I think you and I might have talked about it, but Bill and I got in it. You know, for you guys, you might be interested, maybe not. Go out and Google Bill Crawford or William Crawford, M.D., or Husafell Stone and watch the video. I went with him in 2008. He and I both tore our bicep in Iceland. Bruce Randle was pretty prevalent in the 50s, and he was in the service, and he used to take his body and go anywhere from 180 to over 400 pounds. Now, when you're in the service, you can eat as much as you want. This guy used to train with enormous weights. Then he'd cut his body down. He'd go in a bodybuilding show at like 200, he'd blow everybody the fuck away, because you can imagine the muscle mass that this guy accumulated. Well, Bill, you know, Bill's a big student of that, and Bill has always believed in doing a lot of good mornings for stone lifting. I've been doing them now that I can get the arm back comfortably with a buffalo bar, or I use a safety squat bar, but I'm not a big proponent of it in some ways. Now, it could be just the bar I have. It lays on the top of my neck, called the Atlas, a little too hard for my taste. I don't like messing around with my neck, because we know you hurt your neck, you can be screwed the rest of your life. So I went back, and I tore 350 with a good morning the other day like it was nothing, all right? And I mean that, too. That was after pulling 375 with a Hoosa steel stone, you know, like just below mid-shin. And I haven't done any of that stuff, man. And, like, you know, I've been doing it sporadically, but I have not worked that stuff in almost 14 weeks now. That's why I'm so far behind. But the good morning has an awful lot of validity to that, and I'm going to keep going and keep going as much as I can with it and keep putting more and more, obviously, steel on it. I'll tell you one thing, your erectors, and I have a Yesus machine, you know, for glute ham and all that, but I'll tell you, nothing feels like that other than doing dead stop squatting and all that. But one of the things, you know, we were discussing too, for grip, and, you know, everybody's looking for grip, 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 and everybody's got this machine, that, me too, I've got everything, all right? Well, we were talking about, I used to do a lot of stuff with holds with natural stones, you know, try to get your fingers in them. Basically, you're trying to punch your fingers through a stone. And I started doing this again Sunday. Now, Bill had done that for quite a while, and he still does it all for stone lifting, and he don't throw any shit, because he told me, just training like 2 to 3 days with those stones. Did I lose you?
Yep. No, sir. We're here.
Oh, again? Okay, something happened here. All right, I'm glad. A guy tried to get through to me that stiffed me yesterday. Okay. that's why I didn't see it. I'm sorry. So we were talking about this, and here's something that you're going to love, boys. I'm telling you. Gareth, especially, you might, because of what you're dealing with, I'm sure, with grip and everything. Bill told me two things that were interesting. Carrying those stones, basically his body went through a metamorphosis, where he said one of the biggest things were his bones looked bigger, his skin was thicker, everything on him seemed to grow exponentially. And then second, when he was doing a lot of the stone and finger work for the holds, for the grip, he told me it almost looked like his hands doubled in size. Yeah. Okay? Now, here's what I've been doing. This is real interesting. I take anywhere, it could be anywhere from a 50-pound stone to, let's say, outside I've got a 430, but I'm not going to do anything like that. I try to take the natural river stones I've got, and they're all over the place with weight. And I just go from stone to stone, do it almost like in a bent row position, but I take and just hammer my fingers and hands on that thing as hard as I can. From there, I go over to my soft tire, you know, the outside softer, even though it's heavy, and I went out and bought short sledgehammers that were rubber, and I beat the fucking shit out of that tire till my hands were so bad the other night, I couldn't type. They were opening up and cramping. That's how bad they were, right? And I went back and did 7 rounds like that, and I'm telling you, man, my hands they're callousing up real good, even on the fingertips and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a try now all the way till we leave and see how much my grip improves and how much stronger I can get. What do you think about that, Garrett?
That's awesome, man. I really believe that, you know, you have to get, you know, unconventional with your grip training. You know, I know that you can use basic step. That's always the, you know, the fundamentals, like wrist roller, that type of thing, what have you, reverse curls even. But if you really want to thicken up the hands, you've got to try different methods. You really, and it's something, like you said, just different. And I've seen that too, with even with my brother, the youngest brother, when he started doing more grip work, his hands ballooned up.
Yeah. And you know, the thing with that, that's the thing, the history of the Husafell stone, it's like talc. So you're pulling a 418-pound stone, basically. You can either front squat it or try to explode it like a high pole, wrap your arms around it and get, because you're only going to get one or two shots with it. And the thing is, too, what I've been concentrating, obviously, the arm is a whole unit, but you have to have the forearms to squeeze the living shit out of that thing. And you really got to have bicep strength. And we got into a lot of that stuff, and I think it's good to work things directly, but I think the one movement that lends totally to that stone lifting is this, the good old-fashioned bent row, butt down, pull to your belly button, and don't make it look like half a deadlift, all right? So when you're doing stuff like that, you're getting indirect stuff to the bicep, but it's also protecting the bicep because the one thing I learned with these stones, and it could have been a freak how it happened when I tore mine, and a lot of guys do, there's just something about the angles. And the biggest thing you got to remember with any of that stuff, whenever you lift any type of stone and you're straddling that stone, never bend your elbows. If you bend your elbows, there's a good chance you'll tear the bicep right at the bottom where it inserts right into like your forearm, that crook in your arm there. You get, that's what happened to me. That's a bad, bad pulp tear because they have to go back in through your elbow and reconnect everything. And the word was always like, the only thing that could happen to you is if we nick something, you know, you won't have use of your hand or arm anymore. That's a pretty steep thing to deal with. So we'll get off that topic. But now we're at 2015, gentlemen. What are you guys doing now? I know you're talking about you want to train down a little bit or that's the next thing. What are you looking at here? I'm not going to use that bullshit fit and tone either. Let's go with muscular and powerful. What are you both looking at? And then we'll go to Gareth and we'll talk about what he set up for you. But what is your plan? What's your goal right now? Nick, you go first, or whoever's going to go. Doesn't matter.
I'm right now just working and going to school. We're just want to come in here and be healthy and just lose weight, of course, get stronger, get stronger, leaner. And
are you at a point right now where, all right, I don't know, let's just say you weigh 220. Do you want to like get down to like your goal is 190, but I still want to look like, I'm as big at 220. And we know that if you do things right, you usually could look bigger. So are you looking for something like that, or are you just looking, hey, I'm going to get as strong as I can, I'm going to eat better, and we're just going to let it go that way?
Absolutely. And you know, definitely want to look bigger, definitely want to get stronger. I mean, you look good, you feel good, you come in and look good.
So you're telling me you don't want to push tanks around, man?
Just lift stones.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I talked to Gareth before. I'll tell you what, he could put you on a diet of stones where you'd be the baddest ass motherfucker on the planet. Okay? You lift that stuff. I'm going to do this with little Al over the winter because I'm no longer training him. He's going to be my training partner. So this 14-year-old kid is going to get an eye-opener like you've never seen before. But if he can withstand me, and I'm not saying I'm the best in the world, but if he can withstand me, he's going to do all right. Either that or he's going to suck his thumb and go home crying. It's going to be either or. You know, Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
Where are you, brother? Talk to me.
2015. I am here. No, to be honest, I'm coming in here every day. And to be honest, I want to be the biggest, baddest dude in here.
I love it, man.
I want to walk in here, and when kids are in here training, they see me and be like, wow. If I work like that, can I look like that? And, I mean, I guess you could really say I just want to set an example for some of the younger guys now, kind of how Gareth did to me. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm pushing the limit. So I want to get as strong as I possibly can within, you know, safe means. And but like I said, I'm not in a big rush to get there. I mean, I know this is a long-term thing. This is a lifestyle choice that I've chosen. And I'm just going to come in here continually, consistently, bust my ass every day,
and keep learning. I'm like a sponge with this guy down here, man. Like, even this morning we came in here early, and I'm still learning stuff from him 7 years down the road. I mean, it really blows my mind how much knowledge he has on this stuff. So, I mean, I'm just honored to be able to train here and learn the things that I have, and hopefully pass that on to other people down the road too.
That's a damn good thing. Well, would you ever think about going in a meet? Is there anything you're interested? You interested in strongman, powerlifting, or just want to stay big and strong and that's it? And that's fine too. But
I was talking to Gareth. I just recently started doing some Olympic lifts again, and started doing some cleans again. And it had been a while. I had injured my elbow, so I kind of had to rest for a little bit on that. But I mean, thankfully I still had some just brute strength, and I was able to toss some weight around, and man, it felt freaking good to do that again.
Okay.
So I would like to start doing that again. Maybe, I don't know, man, just push the limits. I want to see what my body's capable of doing. I mean, Gareth and I talk about it all the time. People don't realize what they're capable of until, I mean, you just got to unlock your mind, man. Once you unlock your mind, your limits are boundless.
Yeah, and you know what you got to do, too? You just got to shut all the noise off around you, too. One thing I like about here, I mean, some of the guys once in a while come over, but I don't attract a big group when you're trying to lift these burly-ass stones and they could kill you, you know? And I do a lot of unorthodox stuff, and that's just the way I live and breathe. But you're not going to get a lot of takers with that, you know? You might get some, whether they come back or not, but, like, when my brother-in-law comes here, or my other buddy, you know, we wreck shit, man. And it's just, you come in here, it's like a minefield. It's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You got kind of the idea what you're going to do for the day. But, you know, you might feel a little bit better, so you're going to try a bigger stone. Or you might feel a little bit better, and you're going to dead stop press something heavier over your head, et cetera, et cetera. But that's how this all works. Gareth, here's the question.
Yes, sir.
What I mean, look, you've got some, obviously these guys think the world of you, speak very highly of you, and that's a great thing, because I mean, this is what it's all about, man. It really is giving back. I mean, Nick and Jeremy are definitely going to set examples, if they're not already, for your younger guys and gals in there. You need that type of atmosphere, and you need that type of I don't know, aura of people, because there's, you know, I tried to tell Al here the other day, like, he was training a couple weeks ago and he was doing all right, but he looked either tired to me or his head wasn't zoned in totally. And I walked up to him, I said, hey, look, I don't know what's going on right now, but I don't want you looking down or looking like you're not involved. I said, if you're going to be that way, or you want to just kind of lay down for a little while, go over on the other side of the garage, because I'm going to tell you something right now. When you're playing basketball, you don't think there's eyes on you all the time. You don't think that when they're going back during a timeout or whatever, someone's saying, hey, go after Al, man. He looks like he could run right the fuck over him right now. So the thing is, with stuff like that, you got to be very careful. An example, everybody's looking at, you know, whether Nick and Jeremy are doing power cleans or whatever, there's always somebody younger looking at you. And what do you think, in your experiences, I mean, you've been around, you know, do you feel the same way like me, where you're, it's almost like you're always on camera, whether you are or not? And I know we have days, I've had them, but I've also learned too, try not to let people show people where you are and what you're thinking. What's your take on that?
Man, I could not agree anymore. The thing is, when you get into this type of business, we talked about this earlier, whether it be, you know, having your own show, being a strength coach, even just writing material, I think if you're involved in the fitness industry, I don't know, you think fitness, but like I'd say just becoming a strength coach, what have you, you have to have all aspects of your life together. And because you are a mentor to these boys, everything's got to be in order. That's why most people don't make it. I'll be honest with you. You have these outside influences, typically are negative, and they will pull you away from, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to get accomplished. And so you've got to be very strong. And that 24/7, you've got to be setting an example. And that's the hardest thing for most people to do, to lead that life, to do it day in, day out, regardless of what's going on outside of the gym, and just staying focused. And that is a talent. That's why I respect so many people in this industry, is because they've been at it for years and they're successful, and they just do it day in and day out, not just what they're supposed to do in the gym, but outside the gym.
Yeah.
And I think that's very admirable. You have to be a very strong person, not just physically, but very, very much so mentally.
Well, I also think so. One thing I like about what you said too is this: they're just going day to day. Nobody's patting them on the back. Nobody's writing Facebook things up for them. They know what they got to do. They have a purpose and they carry it out, man. And those are the winners in life. You know, my chiropractor who passed away, it was funny. He and his wife had gone away on a trip. They never traveled much, and I'm glad they got to do that before he left us last year. And he sent me a card. It was cool as hell, a postcard. And there was a big Bengal tiger on it. And he wrote to me, he goes, "This tiger reminds me of you." And he says, "I call you Silent Strength."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty slick, because this is coming from a guy that, you know, he fought in Korea. You know, he was a self-made man. He had a good chiropractic business that he built with his own two hands. You know, he had a successful marriage. When you went and talked to him, man, he was like one of those people you could talk to about anything. I mean, he was very influential with me with the business, pushed me like crazy, just strong, man. You know, had good kids. They were all successful. He was like, I'm trying to think. I think he was 83 when he died. But you know, it came up on him like nothing. He went in for some hernia, and they found cancer, and they didn't know right away. And I used to have some very, very serious talks with this guy, because he was like a father figure to me. I lost my father a long time ago, and I enjoy older people in a lot of ways, because they have an awful lot of knowledge, man, people just overlook because they're older. They've done a lot of things, man. They've done more things than I'll probably ever do, and I have a deep respect for that. And John Ridge was his name, and he was one of the strongest people ever. I mean, good man, strong man, in many different ways, you know, good father, the whole deal. And he was a guy that I used to, like, screw with him sometimes, where I'd piss him off really bad. I'd do it on purpose to him. But it was never anything like, at the end of the day, we never talked. It was just, it was like men testing men. I'd say something, and he's like, no. He was from New Hampshire, and he was like, "That's not the way it is." I said, "Yeah, it is the way it is." You know, and it was just back and forth, right? And I can remember, I never saw him, like, overly emotional. Like, I'd seen him talk about his grandkids, and, you know, he might well up a little bit. Not in a friggin', you know, today's guy world, you know? And I remember it was, like, a few weeks before he passed away, and it was very busy there. And I always went Fridays to see him. I'd sit there for 2 hours talking to him. And I remember when he stood up, and I stood up to leave. And he was like, "I'm going to die." And I was like, "I know." And it was, I never seen him so emotional. And the guy literally hugged me. And I mean, he was never a huggy guy or anything. He says, "I love you." And it was like, it just shows, man, that the strongest of the strongest, you know, this guy gave back to so many people. And I never saw him like scared, and I think he was scared, seriously, a little bit, because I tried to reassure him everything was going to be all right. And he was a religious guy too, you know, in a certain way. But it's amazing how, when we talk about lending strength to people, like when Jeremy and Nick were saying, you know, we're here as an example. You're an example, but you're also an example of strength. And there's a lot of people out there, believe me, I see it all a lot, because I love to observe. They're hurting bad, dude. You look in their eyes. You look at their mannerisms, man. You can just see it. And it's like the best thing that we got, yeah, the outer part might look great, like I say at the end of the show, but if you've got the goddamn guts and the fortitude inside you to be able to step into somebody else's world and try to help them out, then everything we've done with training has happened, because training is a response with every when we meet somebody. Our training takes us into the next phase. If someone maybe says, could you help me out, or I'm not sure of this, it's like you have the confidence and you've built the willpower and the desire and the commitment to, if you really want to make a difference, you can do that. And I know when John and I hugged for the last time, I hope I settled that with him, because nothing's worse than seeing a friend that knows that it's coming to an end be afraid, man. And I hope that what I offered him, you know, just soothed his mind enough. So, you know, what do you say at that point? I mean, you know, what, Gareth, what, when you're talking strength, when you're talking that mental fortitude, how do you leave that to somebody? How, you know, if you're not going to see Jeremy again, say, and or Nick or both, and you know they're going 3,000 miles away from you, and maybe they're apprehensive. They're young men. They've been around a little bit, but you know something, new is new. How do you deal with something like that? Because you guys definitely have a respect and a caring for each other, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's more manly than being some fucking sissy that tells you go to hell. So what do you say, man?
You know, at the end of each summer, it's kind of a sad time for me, because that's when all the boys that I've trained for the years are leaving for college. And a lot of them go out of state or far away from here, and it's a sad time, because you know these boys, I've been with them for a long time, you know, seen them grow up from the age of 13 to 18, and you know all the changes and all the things that happened between those years. Every time they leave, it's a sad time, and I'm lucky in that, you know, Nick and Jeremy are back here, because I wish that could happen more often, but you know the truth is, these boys, once they leave here, they're going to be gone. They're going to be going to college after that, you know, pursuing their careers in other cities, other states. It's a sad time. We always stay in touch, but I always make sure when they do come back, we always catch up, and we express, you know, what the other means to us. You know, it's a bond. And, I'm very fortunate, though. The majority of the boys I train, we stay in pretty close contact with each other. Whether it's just, you know, just a instant message or just a phone call, or when they're in town visiting family during the Christmas break or Thanksgiving, we all catch up. I wish it could happen more often. We could all get back together. But I really appreciate the summers a lot, because at the same time, I see the boys from years past come in. They get to visit, and they have a little bit more free time while they're in college. And we all make sure to hang out and spend some time together, whether it just be training here at the gym or just going to catch lunch.
Yeah, it's like I always say, we are legion, man.
That's right.
There's so much truth to it. And it's like, I think lifting, I'll ask both of you guys too. And this isn't a sensitivity show, believe me. I think lifting creates a whole different style of human being if you understand it. And you know something, there's nothing wrong with kind of dropping your guard. Like, you know, my nieces and nephews were here. If you saw me with them, you'd be like, that's not the same guy. Well, it is the same guy, but the same guy isn't out lifting a 350-pound stone that needs to be so revved and so dominating and so full of aggression that's not going to work with a five-year-old, okay? I mean, I had my little nephew out there, Danny. I had him flipping a little 15-inch car tire the other day. I mean, just shit like that. Is it going to lend to anything? Yeah, I hope down the road, 10 years from now, maybe less, he and I are slinging, you know, iron together, you know? But I'll ask you guys this. Do you feel, especially training with Gareth too, conceptually, however you want to put it down, what has it done to you internally, man? I mean, and I'm talking, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, hugging your niece or nephew, because, you know, people made statements to me. I can't believe you're like this. I want to say to them, well, what the fuck do you think I am? You know, why? Because I lift weights. I can't be kind or gentle. You know, I mean, I got probably more gentleness and love in me than most people, man. And I think it all comes from how we get in touch with our body through the iron and through the stones or whatever else. So, Nick, if I wasn't too soft on that thing, tell me what you're thinking. Did you fall down?
Yeah, sorry, we dropped the phone. This is Jeremy. But
okay. All right, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'll pick it up. I mean, honestly, it's like over the years, I mean, these walls, they've seen me at my highest and they've seen me at my lowest. And, you know, Gareth can attest to that. And it's I feel like the measure of a man's just, you know, what are you going to do about it? You're going to come in here and feel sorry about yourself, or you're going to come in here and make yourself a better man? And that's what I feel like I try to do whenever I'm in here. And that translates into other things in my life and my relationships with people and my work relationships and things of that. But I'll tell you, it all boils down to what I've learned overcoming adversity right here in this gym. I mean, the amount of mental toughness that I've, accumulated just over the, you know, recent years. I mean, just being in the ages 15 to 23, I mean, those are some really developmental years, especially, you know, these days.
Yeah.
And I've remained consistent, trying to come here as much as I can, and, you know, much more so lately. But, I mean, it's, like you said, it's we're a legion, man. We're a family.
Absolutely,
and it's just an unspoken bond. I can't really put it in words.
No, that's okay. I got it. I mean, I'll tell you right now, any fool that doesn't pick up a piece of iron is a real fool. And it's like, I don't regret one day of it. Through all the good and bad, it's been nothing but good. I wouldn't be here talking to you three if it wasn't for doing that. I owe a debt of gratitude to something that can't talk to me, but it does interact with me in many other ways. And it's the best thing I've ever done, without a doubt. I mean, you know, I've been successful outside of the gym too, but when it comes down to my being what I am, it's all constructed out there. I said that in that video the other day. I said, this is where all the thought, this is where everything is built. This is who I am, and this is what it is. And if you don't like it, go shove off. I don't care. I'm done. I'm done with public opinion, popular opinion. I think to be a leader, you're going to have to take on a lot of bullshit. There's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to like you, but most of them aren't going to like you because they couldn't do it or don't have the guts or the balls to even try it. And what I've done with a lot of that, I told Gareth, I said, I've cut them out of my life. Because the worst thing you do is keep letting people in that are going to try to hurt you one way or another. And that's it. Nick, what do you think, man?
For me, the mental side of it is just, you know, it's as simple as waking up in the morning. You know, sometimes you don't want to do some things. You know, it's hard to get up, but you do it, and you get up, and you come in here, and you be tough. You get your lift in and work hard. You know, you just everything about coming in the gym. It's 7 in the morning. It makes you tougher, makes you mentally tougher.
It's a great way to start your day and get going, and you know. The little things in life that usually would peel you back don't even bother you, and that's always been my premise. Gareth, we're gonna talk to you, and then we're gonna start closing down with everything. But tell me, man, what has lifting done to you? I mean, you know, what do you feel internally, man? I mean, you know, obviously you're married and all that, but what has it done to you, man? Can you see things in a different way with people? I mean, obviously you heard how I am with my nieces and nephew. I'd kill for them, man. Anybody ever fucks with them, they're dead. You know, I mean that too. It's like you have a whole different look on things, man. But what do you think? How's lifted touched you? You think internally where it's made you a better man, you know, than say even 10 years ago? How do you feel about all that?
Well. Yeah, just from the get-go, we talked about it in a previous podcast. I started lifting at an early age, but I had some troubles when I was growing up in my teenage years, and lifting pretty much saved my life. It pulled me out of the hole. I'm being 100% sincere at that. Now, my family life wasn't the best growing up. It wasn't, you know, terrible, but it all scarred some of me and my brothers and my sister. And left us with some emotional issues that we really didn't know how to deal with. And lifting itself is what really brought me out of the problems that I had. And once it does that to you, it just sticks with you. You just incorporate it into your life. You know it has to be done, whether you're tired, sad, what have you, you know that's what you have to do. And that was the big thing with starting my gym, starting HCP Barbell. I just wanted to create something that I wish I had when I was a kid. And I know because when you grow up, especially these days, man, you encounter so many issues. You don't know how to deal with them. And I think lifting is the most positive outlet that a teenager can really adopt and incorporate into their lifestyle, not just as a teenager, but throughout adulthood, and just allow you to become the best that you can be. And it's such a huge impact on me. And I think obviously we all, you know, express this is that there's that physical strength, but it carries over to emotional strength, mental strength. That's what it's all about. And Jeremy and I we had a funny discussion once because we really like the show, how it amps us up, and people are like, why are you trying to get bigger? Why are you trying to get stronger? Yeah. You know what? It's not about that, all about that. It's about becoming your best. How about that? It's not me trying to impress people. It's not me trying to get someone's attention. It's not me trying to, you know, do everything for some ridiculous reason. It's about being the best I can be so I can contribute to my family. I can contribute to my friends and society and be someone who is actually brings value to our world. And, I think that's what this is all about. And I think the boys, when they train with me, they can feel that. I don't really talk about this all the time with them, but they know that I'm here.
They know you care about it.
Yeah,
man.
I'm always here. And they're so important to me. I can't put it in words. Like, they just mean that much to me. Their happiness, their success. I'll tell you one quick story. Little brother and I, we watched this movie when we were kids. It was called The Perfect Weapon. And it was a martial arts movie. And this guy, you know, he grew up a troubled teenager and, you know, didn't know where to go in life. And then, you know, kind of went down this crazy path. But at the end of the story, at the end of the movie, he came back to his trainer or his instructor, his master, and everything. Yeah, you know, kind of when he just figured things out, he knew he had to come back home. And I just thought that was the greatest thing, in my opinion, because, you know, I feel like when people come here, the guys who trained with me, it's the same thing. It's like everything comes back together. Yep. And no matter where they are in life, or if they have any problems, or like even if things are going great, it's just everything kind of comes back together. Their perspective on life. And that's just what makes me feel, it just makes me feel incredible. I feel very special.
You should be very proud of that.
Yes, sir.
Very proud. You know, I don't know if I'm sure you've experienced it. There's kind of an unspoken word between weightlifters that have been around each other where you don't have to say things. It's almost like you know what the other one's thinking. You know what you want to load on the bar. I have that with my brother-in-law especially. There's, even though we might speak, but we're not speaking a lot. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like, okay, you see him slap it up. Yeah, you're going, yep, done. You're under it. It's like, bang. You know, and it's, boy, I'll tell you, when you get to that point with people you're training with, that is like unbelievable because it's now you really understand one another. Now you're looking out for the best for each other. And you're going to always succeed like that. And that's why, obviously, you've got a winning program. And I congratulate all three of you, men. I mean, you can't say enough about that because there's too much bullshit in the world. Nobody can do this and do that. I say screw you all, man. Stop listening to people. Go out and do your shit. If you can do that and pull that off, man, you're going to be light years ahead of everybody. You know, let them talk. While you're going to your shit job or you got a shit relationship and you hate your life and you're 100 pounds overweight, guess what, man? Live with it because you're surely not going to try anything else. Gareth, why don't you give all your information out? I'll say goodbye to both gentlemen and yourself, and then just hang on the line after I give my stuff, if you would, please. Unless that, you guys want to say anything before we go off? Is there anything you want to leave on the show with or what?
Well, yeah, first and foremost, I mean, I'm truly floored that, you know, I was actually able to come on here and, you know, have a
This is Jeremy. Okay.
Just having the opportunity to, you know, talk to you, and obviously I've talked to Gareth quite a bit, but I mean, man, the guests that have been on this show, I mean, they're very esteemed and very established, so I'm just very, very touched and very, very happy I was able to do this. So other than that, stay strong. Keep lifting, my man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you for being on. It was an honor having you on, Jeremy. Maybe down the road we'll do some other stuff, you know, catch up on you guys. But I appreciate it. And, you know, I came from nothing with this, and this is where we are today. And I'm going to keep spreading the word and try to get this out to as many people. If, you know, we can change some minds and some hearts here, get them involved. That's the main thing. Nick, what do you got, brother?
Just really, really appreciate you letting us come on here, even though we're not qualified, Eric. But thank you very much for this opportunity, and we'll be listening to your show all the time, man. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you're both qualified to come on, because if you listen to the shows, I've said this many times, I don't care if you lift 450-pound stone or 100-pound stone. Anybody that comes on here has a right to come on here and express their opinion. There's a lot of guys and girls out there that think they have nothing to say. Well, you guys had an opportunity to say, and I hope I gave you enough of a platform to do it. And I'm very happy that, you know, you give a shit enough to listen to me on the podcast. And, you know, I know that you're telling people, and it's an honor for me to do this. And Gareth, why don't you say whatever you want to finish up with, give all the info out, let me give mine, and just hang on the line, if you would, please.
I'm Gareth Denyer, owner, operator, strength coach of HCP Barbell. You can reach me at gareth@hcpbarbell.com. We're on all forms of social media, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, what have you. Any questions whatsoever, I'm always here to help.
Awesome. Okay, this is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Obviously, I always tell everybody he's on once a month. I wish I could have him on every week. This guy is just ball busting. He's the best. Like everybody. I mean, I shouldn't even say that. I've got so many people that are trying to get on monthly. I mean, this is a nice problem to have. I'm doing everything I can to accommodate them, but 15 podcasts a week are going to wreck the rest of my throat. But we're going to keep doing it because we're dedicated to getting everything out there. Next, we've got Sorenex Equipment. Thank you for sponsoring me with their new diamond bar, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Tell Richard or Bert or whomever that Motivation Muscle sent you. Then we have Hearts Collision, local body shop here. 518-477-7937, heartscollision.com. Thanks, Alex and Lori. Little Al will be here. We're going to stone him up, man, come Saturday. He's going to be lifting some steel, boys. And I've said this before. I mean, Alex has got hands and wrists on him like monsters, man. He's probably 6'4". I'm of the belief, stuff like that, I like all that's all manliness stuff. You know, sometimes the job shapes the look of the man. This guy's got the look of strength like you wouldn't believe. So, heartscollision.com. Next, go out to Fiorello Barbell Co., download our free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Like I said, no gloss, no frills, no thrills. You want to read 10 good paragraphs, get it for free, just give me your name. Here we go. So, go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. and download, obviously, the Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Next, go out and check out our Winner's Circle, 12 modules. Obviously, there's a charge for them, but they're loaded with information from the very beginning right through my love of the power rack, sandbags, iron boots, training arms, et cetera, et cetera. So check that out at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also, check out our training programs. That's all free video. And our Strength Times Power Equals Success, $7. You get all in HD. And you can lose weight, gain muscle, get bigger, get faster, whatever you want to call it. But the most of all, you're going to learn how to use your head. That's the biggest thing. If the head's not on, it doesn't matter. And there's too many people with their head off. So go out and check that out. Next, sponsorship, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Click that. $300 a month, which is dirt cheap. You can come on with us. We will help you increase your branding. Same way with us. It'll help us to get us out there. We're out in, right now, we're all out in Europe, so we're growing like crazy. So if you need anything done like that, obviously that's extra, but for $300 a month, you're going to get anywhere from 7 to 15 podcasts a week. That's pretty good. So go out there and check that out. The forms are all there. It's all yours. Last but not least, Chris Bigelow does everything for MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com, iTunes and Stitcher, write us a review. Everyone's been 5 stars, and I thank everybody for that. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. If you want to talk to me or you'd like me to do a show with Gareth, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. Just send me whatever you'd like. And I'll leave you with these 3 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to talk to them. It might be the best thing you've ever done. And as my mom always said to us when we were kids, don't be afraid to say hello or smile at somebody. It might be the only thing they get that day. Last but not least, my favorite, go out tonight and lift some big hunks of iron. And bet most of all, take some stones, lift them, and turn them into dust. And remember this, we are domination, and we are going to be over 1 million strong. Like I said, we are a legion. And as David Whitley said to me one day, he says, you know what you guys are? He goes, you're Boom Legion. So there you go. Gareth, Nick, Jeremy, thank you for being on the show. It was a pleasure and an honor.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks,
Ed. Anytime. Just hang on, and I'll talk to you offline in a second. So for Gareth Denyer, Nick Smith, Jeremy Linzer, thanks for being, you know, listening to the show. We'll talk. Oh, I've got another show after this, and I've got them right till Friday. Get out there and just do something good. That's all we care about. Have a great week, and
thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.